and welcome to Food Stuff. I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And I'm Annie Reese.
And today, we're going to talk about frozen waffles.
And Eggo waffles in particular.
Yes, because it's about time for a lot of us to retreat into our caves over the next few days.
Our Netflix caves.
Yes, and binge watch the second season of Stranger Things. If you've seen Stranger Things, I'm going to guess a lot of you have. If you haven't and you're interested, check it out.
Uh-huh.
But we all know those frozen waffles that Eleven loves in the bright yellow box. Those are Eggos.
Those are Eggos.
And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. So first, as we frequently do, by frequently I mean all the time.
Yeah.
What is it?
I think it can be explained in this simple quote. A waffle is like a pancake with a syrup trap. It's from Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, a waffle has kind of like a grid pattern. It's like a 3D pancake, sort of, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It's within the realm of a pastry. It's usually a lightly sweetened kind of bread product.
Mm-hmm. It's the dough is usually got some kind of milk, eggs, butter, maybe a leavening agent, a rising agent.
They run into the light and fluffy on the inside and crispy on the outside kind of concept. They're very tasty. Eggo waffles are generally frozen waffles that come in yellow boxes, 8 to a pack.
Mm-hmm.
Nutri-Grain Eggos were my go-to breakfast for a number of years when I was a kid.
Yeah, I loved the blueberry ones.
Mm.
I love waffles in general, but I feel you have to get the texture right or they're worthless. They have to be crispy. If you get like a soggy waffle, it's so disappointing.
Oh, soggy waffle.
Yeah.
That's a great name for something.
It is, isn't it? Frozen waffles, pancakes, and French toast is a $1.2 billion industry.
Ooh.
And Eggo accounts for 60% of that.
60% or over. Yeah.
Yeah. And if we look at 2015, Kellogg sold 4.5% more waffles in the preceding 5 years than any year coming before that. They also sell aforementioned frozen pancakes and French toast, along with frozen breakfast sandwiches. And the Bloomberg article I got this number from, by the way, was titled, Who Killed Tony the Tiger?
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically that Eggo was capitalizing off of fears about the health of cereal.
Even though
they're
both carb products with sugar added.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Get
answer.
It.
Yeah. So let's do a brief rundown of waffles, shall we?
Yes. So the ancestors of waffles are oblios, which are these ancient Grecian cakes that were roasted between two metal plates. And the two metal plates had a wooden handle attached so that you could just slide it into and out of an oven. By medieval times, these had developed into oblies, which were these large unleavened wafers that were made primarily by either members of the Catholic Church or people trying to sell stuff to the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them depicted religious iconography. By the 1400s, these had developed into recipes more like we're familiar with waffles being today, and the Dutch had started using rectangular plates that were forged with a grid pattern on them. Though historians aren't sure whether this was a decorative choice or like a practical matter for the blacksmiths or a practical request on behalf of the bakers to design something with a greater surface area so that you can get, you know, the waffle more crispier, faster.
Yeah. And to make these old school waffles slash wafers was kind of terrible, just awful. So you had those two baking plates with the long handles,
mm-hmm.
and they needed to stay hot and oiled. It was a two-person job to hold these heavy handles and to get the baking plates over a fire, add the batter, close it between the plates, put it over a fire, minute per side, and then quickly remove the waffle.
Ooh.
So it didn't overcook.
Yeah.
Yeah, real pain.
Americans were the ones to pair waffles with maple syrup, a staple up in the New England area,
mm-hmm.
and were really the first to adopt them as a breakfast food.
Hmm.
Everywhere else, it's kind of a snack or like something that you'd eat with tea, something like that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about Thomas Jefferson again.
Wait, what? Why?
I know, right? So the first thing you need to know about Thomas Jefferson, in the context of waffles anyway, is that he loved them. He loved them. He loved them so much. He transported a waffle iron from France to the U.S. in 1789 and would cook them at waffle parties.
Waffle parties.
Yes, waffle parties. Man, Leslie Knope would die of happiness. Or overeating, possibly.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Simultaneously.
I'd be pretty excited, too. Mm-hmm. Someone, by the way, figured out that Leslie Knope probably eats around 343 waffles a year.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of waffles.
Yes. Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec, for you guys who don't know. Also related, in Sweden, there's Waffle Day, which shares the date with Our Lady's Day. So Leslie Knope was on to something with Galentine's Day being celebrated with waffles. Or at least in Sweden, anyway.
those waffle parties of Thomas Jefferson's were called waffle frolics.
Waffle frolics. I am going to add that to my calendar. I'm going to throw a waffle frolic.
Yes.
For sure. And FYI, the word waffle first appeared in the English language in 1725 from the Dutch word waffle, hey, which probably comes from a similar Germanic word meaning honeycomb or web or weave.
Also, FYI, the word gopher probably comes from the same root. Gofel, waffle.
Oh.
And it was a reference to the woven and or honeycomb-like structure of their burrows.
Oh. Huh. Words are so cool.
Yeah.
Very interesting. After a waffle iron made to be used over a coal stove was patented in the U.S. in 1869 by Dutch-American Cornelius Swartwout.
Swartwout. Cornelius Swartwout. Where have you been all my life?
That
okay, please continue.
Is a Harry Potter name if I've ever heard one.
Yes.
Americans followed the lead of Jefferson and threw their own waffle parties or frolics.
Mm-hmm.
And a few years later, in 1896, Fanny Farmer's The Fanny Farmer Cookbook came out with a recipe on how to make raised yeast waffles. And this is a big moment on the waffle timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, waffles were essentially just pancakes but with holes.
Oh.
Yeah. The first electric waffle iron was introduced in 1911 and released commercially by GE to the public in 1918. Apart from efficiency improvements and some bells and whistles, we generally use the same thing to this day.
Mm-hmm.
However, cooking waffles took precious time, and we Americans didn't want to wait that long to shove some delicious golden waffle in our face.
Of course not.
No. So.
Time is money.
It is.
Time is waffles.
Time is waffles. Enter the frozen waffle. But first, a quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Okay, so.
Now it's time to talk about what's on everyone's mind. Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise?
Yeah. Wait, where did you think this was going? This is like a sleeper episode. It's actually about mayonnaise.
Okay.
Yes. So, in 1932, in San Jose, California, brothers Frank Anthony and Sam Dorsa decided to do some food experiments in their parents' basement, of course, mm-hmm. until they came up with their own brand of mayonnaise, which they advertised throughout the Great Depression as using triple refined vegetable oil and 100% fresh range eggs.
Ranch eggs.
Ranch eggs. Mm-hmm. Can't forget that. Which led them to call their product Eggo Mayonnaise.
Ads at the time touted the product as having the highest egg content of the leading brands. Fighting words in the mayonnaise kingdom.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Around their San Jose digs, the product was quite popular. Popular enough that according to Frank Dorsa's obituary, the brothers used a $50 infusion from their mayonnaise business to break into the waffle one. Also, I couldn't leave out that the headline of Frank Dorsa's obituary was, "He triumphed with waffles but died without vanquishing the pancake."
Oh.
Kind of a low blow for an obituary, right?
Oh, it's catchy, though.
It is. And another thing I gotta mention, this guy also invented a machine that curls bacon?
It's a machine that when bacon cooks, it prevents it from curling.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Clearly. Obviously.
Where is this machine? Can I purchase it? I don't think you can. And an automatic potato peeler he also invented.
Yeah, automatic, like, continual potato peeler.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't stop, won't stop. But yes, so this was how Eggo Food Products, the company, was born.
Mm-hmm. There was a problem, though. While they had no trouble selling their products near their home base, shipping mayo and fresh waffle batter really limited their reach.
Mm-hmm.
And this spurred them to recreate a tinned powder that just needed a bit of milk added to it.
As a waffle batter.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Restaurants looking to churn out waffles more quickly were some of their most profitable customers.
Hmm.
Yes. This was not the first powdered waffle mix, however. That distinction goes to Pearl Milling Co.'s Aunt Jemima pancake and waffle mix all the way back to 1889.
1889, goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that explains the racism in the name.
Lauren's Killjoy Corner, back again.
It's Killjoy Corner with a K, by the way.
Oh, yes. With the dough flowing in from their expanded market, the Dorsa brothers purchased the Garden City Potato Chip Factory in 1938 and were soon selling potato chips alongside their waffles and mayonnaise. What an interesting product. I mean, they got a lot of diversity going here.
They did.
Yeah. And this is what inspired Frank Dorsa to invent the automatic potato peeler, by the way. But let's jump ahead to the 1950s.
Okay.
The American consumer wanted convenience. They didn't want to mess with making fresh waffles or even powdered mixes. So I'm sure you remember from our frozen food episode, this is when frozen foods were taking the U.S. by storm. The Dorsa brothers knew that in order to stay afloat, they needed to compete by coming up with a frozen waffle. But first, they needed to figure out how to produce waffles on a large scale. Frank was undeterred by this challenge, and in 1953, he utilized the engine of a merry-go-round with just as many waffle irons as possible attached to it.
What?
Yes, I love this. It's monstrous in my head, the thing I'm imagining, just like nightmares. But it worked. The contraption, as it rotated, the waffles cooked, and there were employees placed around this thing flipping the waffles when it was time.
Mm-hmm.
And after they were cooked, they were frozen. Thousands of waffles an hour were turned out this way. And when the first of those waffles hit the grocery store aisles later that same year, they were called froffles.
Frozen waffles, froffles.
Yep. They boasted major convenience factors. You put them in the toaster, and they were ready in about a minute. That's pretty convenient. Which pretty much killed their tinned mix line.
Oops.
Yeah, and also took a swing at the waffle iron business.
Oh.
And they were very popular on the West Coast, because that's pretty much where they were shipping them at the time.
Right. The name Froffles did not stick.
What?
By 1955, the Dorsas adopted their already well-known Eggo name for their waffles. Mm-hmm. So that is when Eggo waffles were born. Mm-hmm. Officially. In 1960, they trademarked a mascot named Mr. Eggo, which was this, like, dancing stick figure egg that was wearing a top hat. Total side note, one of the design search codes that it falls under in the U.S. Trademark Office is 02.01.33, and I quote, "Grotesque men formed by letters, numbers, punctuation, or geometric shapes, semicolon, stick figures."
I've got to look this up.
It looks sort of like Mr. Peanut, but as an egg, sort of.
As an egg?
Yeah. At the time, the company, Eggo Food Products, offered all manner of stuff, including pickles and salad dressings and canned tuna and gelatin desserts and, like, barbecue sauces, all sorts of stuff.
Wow.
By 1962, Eggo Food Products was booming, and they moved out to a huge new plant on the outskirts of San Jose on a street called Eggo Way, I believe.
Way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was there that they caught the attention of Fern Foods, Inc., which made the Dorsas a tempting offer, and they sold the company in 1966.
Mm-hmm. And Aunt Jemima came out with its own frozen waffle in 1968, which is Eggo's most serious competitor. Jumping ahead to 1970, Kellogg, you remember Kellogg, acquired Fern Foods, Inc., and it was their first foray into frozen foods.
Mm-hmm.
And this was obviously a game changer, and it led to one of the catchiest slogans from my childhood, at least, Lego My Eggo. This came about due to an ad agency, Leo Burnett, After the slogan burst onto the scene in 1972, it gained such popularity that they kept it until 2008. And when they retired it briefly, they brought it back in 2014. Yeah. And a bonus fact. Americans got their introduction to the Belgian waffle at the 1964 World's Fair by the Van Damme family, who went on to open a location in Redondo Beach 4 years later. 20 years after that, in 1988, they introduced their own frozen waffle, Van's Waffles, that were marketed as more wholesome as they were made up with amaranth and quinoa. Yeah.
Ancient grains.
I know. We'll do an episode on Belgian waffles one day.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah. Ancient grains, both. Probably yeah. Mostly separately.
Probably, yeah. But there will be some overlap. Mm-hmm. Kellogg's, they also pushed Eggo into many new flavor territories. Blueberry, strawberry, chocolate chip, brown sugar, cinnamon, etc. And, of course, the seasonally available pumpkin spice.
It all comes back to pumpkin spice. Mm-hmm. Other occasional flavor releases, French toast. French toast waffles always confused me. Anyway,
yes.
S'mores and confetti.
Confetti.
Confetti-flavored waffles. Anytime that you can put colored sprinkles in anything, I'm pretty excited about it.
I've never thought about how weird it is that we call it confetti, though. Like, that's the flavor.
Right.
It's more of just the look.
It's an
appearance
thing.
I don't want it
thing.
To taste like confetti. Have you
swallowed enough confetti to be able to say that definitively?
I was at a concert once where I was right next to the confetti canyon, and I've
all right. I believe you.
I have an idea.
Expert witness testimony.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Dorsa, meanwhile, passed away in 1996. Survived by his loving son. And meanwhile, Kellogg's just keeps on pushing the bounds of breakfast through the Eggo brand. In the 2000s, they debuted just a number of really amazingly ridiculous products that I mostly missed. So just in case anyone else is super entertained by them, Eggo Real Fruit Pizzas, which is a cinnamon and maple flavored crust with fruit and granola on top.
Okay.
Wafflers and Minis, both of which pull apart for easy hand eating and condiment dipping.
Mm-hmm.
Toaster Muffin Delights, which were muffin tops for your toaster.
Okay.
Eggo Maple Syrup Cereal, which was a breakfast cereal that was like vaguely in the shape of waffles. There were Lego branded Eggos. Lego My Eggos.
Oh man, my mind just got blown. That's amazing.
They came out with a waffle syrup. They have waffle breakfast sandwiches, Eggo biscuit scramblers, which were kind of like breakfast Hot Pockets. And yes, finally, too late for Frank, they came out with toaster pancakes.
Yes. And he was working on that. That's one of the reasons.
Yeah.
They put that in the obituary, even though I thought it was
a little bit snarky.
Yeah. But
still, his son said that he just never quite got the texture right.
I imagine it would be very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Due to a listeria infection scare at the Atlanta plant that resulted in a recall of 4,500 cases of waffles, followed by flooding just as soon as the plant was about to reopen, followed by a temporary shutdown of the plant in Tennessee, there was an Eggo waffle shortage from 2009 to 2010.
There's a little bit of like hoarding that went on. They limited their releases of their waffles to various stores, and there were definitely a few people that were like selling them for an upcharge on eBay.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
Buying your Eggo waffles on eBay.
A dangerous prospect.
Yeah. That's a little bit of a risk.
Yeah.
And then along comes Stranger Things in 2016, bringing Eggo back into the zeitgeist.
And so that is our Eggo waffle timeline.
Yes.
And it brings us back to another quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes. So, a lot of, there's a lot of interesting little cultural things that come up when you look into waffles, frozen waffles in particular. When I was searching, this is something I've never heard of before, but a lot of the results in the Google came back with the Taco Bell waffle taco.
Waffle taco?
A waffle taco.
I think I saw a commercial for that.
Oh, boy. It was introduced in 2014. And it's pretty much what it sounds like. Taco Bell's director for product development stumbled on a Facebook post of an egg avocado taco and rushed to the store for frozen waffles to test it out herself. The development team went through 80 different tacos, changing
what?
Things like waffle thickness and amount of vanilla.
Okay.
Until they settled on the one.
If anyone has experienced one of these.
I've had a savory waffle before, but I've never had a taco waffle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've had like chicken and waffles, which are sort of savory.
Yes. And speaking of chicken and waffles, just a brief, I kind of got curious about this when I was researching after the Taco Bell waffle taco. I looked into chicken and waffles. So this duo dates back to the 1600s in the U.S. when the Pennsylvania Dutch would put chicken and gravy on top of their waffles.
Mm-hmm.
A Virginia breakfast, or a meal consisting of fried or baked meat in a quick bread, was the standard of Southern hospitality by the 1800s. It's also very likely that African-American slaves were making a version of this, too. But then we take a massive leap forward to the Wells Supper Club, located in Harlem, New York, in 1938. Musicians playing at Wells, as it was called by the locals, would either arrive too late or get done too late for either dinner or breakfast, so they wanted a combination of both. Voila, chicken and waffles.
Ah.
The trend transversed the U.S., and in 1976, Roscoe's House of Chicken and Waffles opened in Los Angeles, California, started by someone who had grown up in Harlem.
Uh-huh.
Gladys and Ron's Chicken and Waffles restaurant, until recently operating here in Atlanta, was in part inspired by night spent at Wells.
Ah.
Yeah. And I found this funny quote that I wish we had included in the fried chicken episode, but putting it in here. Anytime you talk about fried chicken in the South, you're in essence talking about somebody's mama. And when you talk about somebody's mama, somebody's going to get mad. That's from an NPR story I read about the history of fried chicken and waffles.
Yeah, it's people, yeah. We all care a lot about fried chicken around here.
We do.
If you couldn't tell from our fried chicken episode.
I know. And another thing we care about down here, Waffle House.
Waffle House.
I know.
Okay, so we're going to do this in another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually already did some preliminary research. And then I had to be like, stop it. Got other things to do. But I have to leave you with this. Apparently there's no deep fryer at Waffle House. I don't believe it.
No.
I don't believe it. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Seems impossible, but it's true.
I can't wait.
Okay.
Okay. Yep. Future episode. And apparently, last thing, there was a big kerfuffle on Top Chef when one of the contestants used frozen waffles. It was called Wafflegate.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm. That about closes up our episode on frozen waffles.
Uh-huh, which means that it's time for some listener mail.
Hannah sent us this note in response to our butter episode. My grandmother on my mother's side is someone who has always been curious and always loves to pay people a compliment. So when she discovered Trappist jam made by the monks of St. Joseph's Abbey of Spencer, Massachusetts, she decided she had to call them and tell them how much she loved their jam.
Aw.
She managed to get the head of the abbey on the phone and chatted with him for several hours.
What?
Yeah, about how they make their jams and about the history of the abbey, and just said she had a wonderful time and everyone was wonderfully sweet. At the end of the conversation, they asked her for her address and promptly sent her a box of 12 of the different jams they make. And I believe sent her a few more boxes of jam over the next few years. Goes to show it never hurts to compliment your favorite small business.
Oh.
She sounds like a lovely lady.
She really does. And they sound like a lovely jam company.
I know. This is something Lauren and I would do. We like have a million questions about everything.
Yeah.
We're so interested.
Keep talking to us about your jam.
Please.
Jam all day. Also, in response to our butter episode, Courtney wrote, the Illinois State Fair also has a tradition of the butter cow that started around 90 years ago and continues on today. It is a staple for most people to go to the fair. I believe other state fairs have this tradition also, probably mostly Midwestern states, but being from Illinois, I am, of course, partial to our tradition.
And she sent pictures. A lot of people wrote in about the butter cow.
Butter sculpture, y'all. I've never seen this.
Me either, but.
I mean, in person, yeah.
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 Goals. Foodstuff goals. If you would like to send us a letter, like these lovely listeners did, mm-hmm. You can do so. We have an email address. It is foodstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Mm-hmm. We are also on Facebook and Twitter at foodstuffhsw, and we are on Instagram at foodstuff. So we hope that we will hear from you, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.